This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3584, for Thursday, the 28th of April, 2022. Today's show is entitled, The Collective History of Raid Controller Brands. It is hosted by JWP and is about 18 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, The Story of Raid Cards 1999 to Present.
Good day. I'm JWP, and I would like to talk to you today about the collective history of RAID controller brands. The market segment of RAID adapters has a long history and tradition. It's undergone gradual concentration, followed by an upstream of mergers of the owning corporations, a feeding frenzy of sorts, among the semiconductor manufacturers. I thought about it for a while, and a friend of mine came up with a chart. And when he did this, I said, wow. And he wrote an article, and I thought about it, and I said, well, how long have I been doing this? I said, most of my life I've been using these RAID controllers, or HBA controllers for hard disk and server and different server technologies. And you know, memory slips over 20, 30 years of doing this. And so it was good for him to make a picture, and it was great for me to read it. And I thought about how much of my life I've spent doing this. And so from this, I put a link in the thing from his notes about this, and it has a picture that's pretty comprehensive, so you might want to look at the picture. I'll try to describe it for you circle wise as I go through it, and then I'll go to the history. So it all pretty much started with a company called Mylex. And in 1999, or September of 99, their Accel RAID technology was acquired by IBM. Another company called AMI had a technology called MegaRAID. And in September of 2001, they were purchased by a company called LSI. And a company called ThreeWare, which had a technology called Escalade, was purchased by a company called AMCC. Now, all three of these technologies converged into a company called LSI. So IBM sold theirs in 09 of 2002, and AMCC did their divestment in April of 2009. And then LSI kept, the primary thing they kept was the MegaRAID way of branding, and they became Avago. And Avago, with the MegaRAID labeling, did a merger in February of 2016, and they were by far the leader, and they rebranded under the name Broadcom. Okay, so the second family is the DDP ICP family. And the DDP, their technology was called I2O RAID, and ICP, their technology was called Vortex. And so DDP was acquired in 11 of 99 by a company called Adaptic, and almost everyone knows about Adaptic. Yeah, and then ICP with their Vortex technology was acquired in March of 2001 by Intel. Now, Intel divested ICP Vortex in 06 of 2003, so it was a really short life for the RAID controller there. And then Adaptic, well, they have their own advanced RAID, or what they call ACC RAID, and The Adaptic ACC rate adapter was purchased by PMC Sierra in June of 2010. Okay, and they kept the Adaptic labeling and the ACC rate. And in January of 2016, a company called MicroSemi bought the Adaptic technology from PMC Sierra. And then later, keeping the Adaptic ACC RAID thing, in May of 2018, a company called Microchip purchased them. So if you have any idea about the hardware shortages in the computer industry today, so you can't get very much Microchip right now. So you gotta go with the Broadcom. So both Adaptic and LSI sold their adapters under their own brand via retail stores, but also to volume and large OEMs such as HP, Dell, IBM, Lenovo, Fujitsu, Intel branded RAID cards can be LSI or historically ICP Vortex under the hood. Evidently, throughout the history, there have been several firmware strains or code bases. And for practical purposes, the firmware strain is a key selection criteria that if you're interested in when shopping for a RAID card or when trying to make one work. From what I just described, currently the remaining strains appear to be Mega RAID and ACC RAID, each getting new models introduced as the technical evolution moves on. The clearest way for you to know what pedigree the RAID card has at hand is probably to insert it into a PC running a modern Linux distro or a recent FreeBSD and see what driver gets loaded. For hardware currently in storage, you may need a fresh kernel, possibly a vanilla kernel compiled from source with all the RAID driver modules. Okay, so that's interesting. Alternatively, you can try downloading the Windows card for the marketing name that you can see in the eShop, unpack, download the 7-zip until you get your hands on a pair of files with sys and NIF extensions. The NIF is a text script that tends to be kind of human readable, and if you haven't found out the file name yet, the NIF header will probably disclose a true pedigree of a card. Okay, so in this case, Wikipedia is really, really your friend. It's always got a rich source of memorial pages for companies that no longer exist, but even Wikipedia doesn't have them all. And companies that are still alive have a proper website of their own. Mylax, AMC, AMCC, slash 3Ware, LSI Logic, Avago, which is now Broadcom, which is ex-Agilent, ex-HP, wow. Adaptic, DDP, PMC Sierra, MicroSemi, Microchip, ARCA, Infotrend, Acusys, Fujitsu, Extremis, DX family, and of course Dell EMC has a huge thing. So after each of the early acquisitions, the surviving brand used to sell RAID control modelers with different firmware strains for a while. And what's nice is typically the strain with the more practical interface or set of long-term features survived in the long term. Okay, so when they bought it, if it had a better, easier, looked better, simpler, it usually went out. So I don't know if anyone remembers the horror of ZCR. By Adaptic, the 2010 to 2015 being the DPT / I2O pedigree, and later modules in 2020 / 2025 being the ACC pedigree. By the time the DPT ZCR cards felt a little stale and the ACC ZR cards had a more useful firmware. But it turned out both strains probably suffered from a systematic hardware problem on motherboards at the time. So they all use the AIC 7902 adapter, or what we would call the Adaptic U320 SCSI HBA chips. And so these were embedded on the motherboard, and they had a glitch against the ServerWorks chipsets on those same motherboards on the PCI box. And so no matter which DR, the CCR was installed, all of them would freeze under stress. So if you had like low running, it would work fine. And if you hit it really hard, it would break. And the solutions were either pick a motherboard with an Intel server chipset and stay clear of ServerWorks, or buy a full-fledged RAID card, which is probably exactly what these guys wanted in the first place, was, oh, so you got a taste of it with the built-in motherboard chipset. We didn't intend that for really hard work, so you go ahead and you buy this expensive PCI card. So that was more or less the Intel IOP SoC had its own HBA chips to provide a private SoC. Then they wouldn't come in contact with the ServerWorks chipset or the motherboard. So that's how they worked out it. But so let's talk a little bit about LSI. LSI got purchased their SCSI HBI's silicon know-how or intellectual property from NCR using something called Symbiose. So I never knew that Symbiose was NCR, but it is. In the LSI camp, they used the U160 and the U320 SCSI, typically worked just fine, as long as you had the cabling all right. So all of these things had cabling. So it just makes you so grateful for the NVMe technology that we're doing today. Because if you got the cabling wrong with this, it didn't work. It didn't work at all. And so many other RAID controllers, brands of this era, InfoTrend, ARECA, Accusys, were using target mode HBA chips by LSI. I can remember a time when Mylex DAC 960 descended from the Exultade RAID and Mega RAID were both available under the LSI brand for a brief period of time. And the Mega RAID was significantly more comfortable to use and more powerful. So you had to know what you were looking for in the store. And later, for a while, three-ware models were suddenly available under the LSI brand. The ICP Vortex GDT RAID adapters used to have a fairly nice BIOS menu and a straightforward firmware. And after the acquisition by Adaptic, I recall some Vortex cards being sold under Adaptic brands. But looking at the listing of models in the ACC family, I can also see some ICP Vortex branded cards, maybe even pretty modern ones, which seems pretty weird. Adaptic Broadcom are trying to capitalize on the ICP Vortex brand on the German market, maybe. So if you've ever gone thrifting in Germany and looked at used old computers, you'll find that ICP Vortex in. So a good overview of the history is available in the C source code from Linux drivers for the various RAID controller strands. Just try to find the table of PCI ID supported. Typically, it's commented in showing the controller's marketing names, sometimes their internal code names. A good keyword search for struct PCI underscore device underscore ID, and that will get you where you need to go. So maybe a few words about the silicon side of things. on the chips that all RAID controllers are based on. The early Adaptic ACC routers and the LSI HBA chips were a power PC CPU and an Intel NVDEC PCI bridge. This was the era of the compact SmartArray 4200, probably still the Adaptic ASR 5400S. Later Adaptic RAID cards had Adaptic owned HBA chips. For instance, the IC7899, the U160, and the Intel IOP CPU, originally with the i960 RISC core and later with the ARM core. The RAID controller vendors were using similar component base. For some years, Intel was dominating the RAID controller market CPUs with its IOPS processors to the extent that the CPU was becoming the bottleneck. Only some high-end enterprise RAID controllers were based on x86 processors. About the time that SAS arrived, things were starting to change. AMCC brought their SoC with a dual PowerPC CPU, and other foundries followed with a plethora of SoC/ROC chips, typically with multi-channel SAS HBA integrated, LSI, Marvel, Avago, VATs, Broadcom, seemed to ring a bell. There were probably some mergers too. And then of course the ASIC IP core transfers and startups and such. Nowadays it may be difficult to find out the silicon pedigree of a ROC in someone's RAID control adapter. And no one's very interested really because things just work. And low-end RAID adapters are no longer the rage of the day. For on-premise IT, it's no longer the on-premise IT is no longer the rage of the day. The cloud has made everything on-premise feel guilty and backward, right? So the massive cloud infrastructures themselves hardly use any dedicated RAID adapters. The storage backend consists of plain HBAs interfacing with bulky slow spinning drives or NVMe attached flash, JBOD style. And everything on top is software dedicated, running on cheap multi-core CPUs with an ocean of RAM, communicating over Ethernet, TCP/IP, HTTP, or JSON. So dedicated RAID controllers are struggling to survive in the niches of as industrial process control PCs, video editing, workplaces, or miscellaneous diehard on-premise enterprise-level systems operated by graybeard admins who turned gradually into punks by the cloudy world speeding by. All right. Hey, I hope you've enjoyed this. Please drop me a note if you have any questions.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.